Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a top of the charts Tuesday. We play jams that reached the top of the Billboard charts on this day in history. Thanks to my man Patrick, who's DJing a top of the charts Tuesday. He's the idealionaire. It's his idea. All the musically themed days of the week are his idea, and he does a great job for us, and we appreciate it. You can always be a part of the show. Hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. You also can hit us up via Twitter. Harge is at Hardball Harge in the Twitterverse. My man Patrick at It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse, and I'm at Rod Babers, also in the Twitterverse. Before we out of here at 6:15, to give you up for Texas baseball versus Incarnate Word, we will talk about the latest in the Lamar Jackson updates. Matter of fact, if we can't get to them coming up in the 6 o'clock, maybe you run out of time, I might get to them in Rod's Ramp the Day. I might hit them just a little bit. Or with the Cowboys news in Rod's Ramp the Day, save the Lamar Jackson updates for 6:05. And yes, there's been a strange, very weird update in the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes, but one that's expected considering he doesn't have an agent. So, there you go.
Facts.
Yeah, right? It actually should have been expected considering he does not have an agent. He is his own agent. So, we'll get to that. NFL news, notes, and nuggets coming up. Roger Goodell also is getting an extension. Not all the owners are happy about it. We'll get into that one, too. But let's talk Texas spring football first, gentlemen, because they started up their post-spring break practices. We did get two really good tidbits of information. Malik Murphy is back practicing with the QBs. Matter of fact, we'll hear from Steve Sarkisian talking about that. We played that cut for you earlier. And Jonathan Brooks also back practicing with the running backs. We'll get to both of those cuts of Sark talking about those two players. But there's another player who was also not necessarily back practicing, but he was seen by members of the media doing some drills and out there actually running some routes. I think he had his knee brace on, but he was still out there. Isaiah Nayor was out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really good sign for the Longhorns offense, is that he's in out there. So here is Steve Sarkisian. He was talking to the media today. Here's him talking about a lot of the guys who are coming back from the injury. This was a big day. Like, he had three different multiple players, really important players, projected starters, coming back from injury. Malik Murphy, Jonathan Brooks. Here's him talking about Isaiah Nayor. So. Cut three?
Oh. We're monitoring reps, obviously, but it was, again, good to get him. You know, he looked as good as he's looked. I think his rehab has gone really well for him, not only physically but mentally. Anytime you have surgery like that, as much as it is the physical rehab, it's the mental rehab. But I think that he's dialed into it. I think that, you know, gradually working him back in at the rate that we're going is a good sign for where we need to be come the fall.
It's a good sign, and there are a lot of people that believe. I heard Josh Pate. Are you familiar with Josh Pate?
Yep.
Does a really good job covering college football.
Pate you,
yes. He does a really good job covering college football, and one of his hot takes for the offseason is he believes Texas has the potential to be the best wide receiving room in the country.
Yep.
With X-Men, with Jay Witt, bringing A.D. Mitchell over, throwing a healthier Isaiah Nayor.
You're looking at Jonte Cook and what he's possibly capable of doing.
Great point about the young guys.
The young guys, Moore.
Yep.
He's in there. He's in the mix as well. So I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to hear it. But most importantly, I'm glad to see that Isaiah Nayor with his knee and him being able to go back to practice. And as Sark said, working him in slowly, just making sure that he's moving in the right direction so he can be ready for the season.
Yeah, and a healthy Xavier Worthy is going to be big too. I mean, last year, I was just kind of looking at the regression, the precipitous drop-off in Xavier Worthy's production because of the hand injury we know about now. We won't get into why they were still force-feeding him the football with the hand injury. We've gone over that, and we beat that dead horse. But I went and looked at, of the 30 most targeted FBS wide receivers out there, and this is FBS, so Power 5 and Group of 5, Xavier Worthy had the third lowest completion percentage among that group. Completion rate when targeting him, 53.1%. He had the lowest single season receiving yards of that group with 760. Third lowest yards per target, 6.1 yards per target, and the fewest receiving yards per game of that group.
Yeah.
it was, like I said, a precipitous drop off. And when you look at, and it's hard to put together because that was Quinn Ewers having his struggles when targeting Xavier Worthy, and then there was Xavier Worthy having his own individual struggles, and now we know the broken hand being a big part of that. Mm-hmm. And I remember Sark saying this too when they were asking Sark, you know, what went wrong with the passing game, and maybe it was, I forget what game it was, maybe it was the Oklahoma State game, or maybe it was another game where he says in the post game, it was always something different. He's you know, one play would be Quinn Ewers making the wrong read. One play would be him making a bad throw. Then it'd be X-Man dropping the ball. Then it'd be another guy running the wrong route or running guy running a bad route. Then it would be the pass block. And it was always a different variable that led to the regression of the passing game. And some stats back that up. You look at catchable ball rate. This is Sports Information Solutions. You look at catchable ball rate based on wide receiver-related incompletions. Quinn Ewers was number one in the country, 6.33% wide receiver-related incompletions.
Wow.
Yeah. If you look at catchable ball rate per Sports Info Solutions, Quinn Ewers, 120th in the country at catchable ball rate himself. So him just as a quarterback, catchable ball rate on his own, he was 120th. And if you looked at catchable ball rate and wide receiver-related incompletions, Quinn Ewers also was top in the country in wide receiver related incompletions. So the wide receivers had their fault, and he had his fault in basically uncatchable balls. So they got a lot to fix in the passing game, and I think it has less to do with the O-line, honestly, and more to do with Quinn Ewers and his timing and his ability to throw open wide receivers. Within the construct of the offense.
Yeah.
So there you go. Random stats there. We're doing some deep diving.
Well, one of the things that I'm looking most to is a new and improved Quinn Ewers. You know, we were talking earlier in the first hour about Malik Murphy being back and being out there pushing. And it's the same thing when you start looking at Arch Manning. You start looking at what Quinn Ewers went through last year, the fundamentals, and the same thing that you and I have been talking about for a very long time is making sure that you are fundamentally sound with your footwork and your base. And that is something, too, that this is the time for Quinn Ewers to make sure that he's getting all the coaching that he can possibly have so we don't have to look at that and say, oh, man, his footwork is getting bad again. We don't have time for him to work on it during the season. This is the time for him to make sure that his footwork is in the right place.
Totally agree. It's a great point. Speaking of quarterbacks, Malik Murphy, really good news. He is back practicing with the quarterbacks after being away from the team because of injury. Here is Steve Sarkisian, who was asked about Malik Murphy and his progress and how he's doing now battling back from that injury.
I think, you know, I'll talk about Malik here real quick. I'll talk about real quick first. It was great to have Malik back out there. You know, again, he had a minor setback at the end of winter conditioning. We were probably a little bit conservative with him that first week, thinking, okay, if we back off him the first week of spring ball and give him spring break, then he can get back and be going back again here in the second week of spring ball. So that was positive to have him back out there. I think one key, you know, and I know we like talking about the quarterback position, open competition is really healthy for everybody, right? Everybody should feel like, man, if I can push myself to perform at a higher level and ultimately push the guys around me, whether the guys in front of me on the depth chart or behind me, that everybody's play should step up. And it's easy to point to the quarterback competition. Every position's an open competition. I can't tell a guy right now, hey, at whatever position is, he's the starter regardless. Everybody should be striving to be the best that they can be. We've got a long way till we play, right, in September. So ultimately, yeah, can Malik push Quinn? Of course he can. You know, how far can he take it? Quinn's job is to keep raising his level of play so he can't catch him, right? And that should be at every position across the board.
I agree with that.
Yep.
What are your thoughts about Malik Murphy now being added to the mix of the quarterbacks there and taking second string reps behind Quinn and Arch is taking the third string reps?
I'm glad to see it. I'm glad he's back out there. I'm glad he's getting that opportunity. I'm glad he's being looked at as the possible backup quarterback. And I think this, too, goes to Sark's way of thinking because, remember, during the bowl practices, and we kept hearing about Jaden Blue, he's going to get a run. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. And I kept thinking Jonathan Brooks. We didn't know about his injury situation. So that obviously changed when he got to the game. But he started Keelan Robinson because he felt like that was a reward for him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So those types of things. So for me, I'm looking at it and saying, okay, maybe this is Sark's way of saying Malik has been working his butt off. He's done some things. He's been here. He knows the offense. This is his second year in it. Let me go ahead and move him, bump him to that second spot. Now Arch is over there looking like, hold up, man, I'm about to go out here and I'm about to take that second spot while Malik is trying to be the first spot. And Quinn's like, the hell with all of y'all. This is my spot, so don't worry about it. But, again, you talked about this and you talked about your time on the 40 acres and where Rod B was in that room and looking around and saying, uh-oh, here comes some more players. I got to step my game up. I got to spend some more time on the film making sure. And I'm going up against Roy Williams every day, Sloan Thomas, B.J. Johnson, and iron sharpens iron. I think competition is good. I think it's very important for all of these players that are involved. And I think Texas is now at that point where that room looks totally different than what we looked at a few years ago. This room looks totally different what we looked at it 5-6 years ago. Now we have legit competition in the quarterback room with some top-tier talent that we're like, okay, this is what Texas needs to look like, right? No, the honestly, look is there. They passed the eye test.
Yeah, no, in terms of quarterback talent, honestly, the truth is, it's just overall talent. I'm not talking about specific arm talent. Accolades. I'm just talking about just the ceiling of all these guys, because now you have Arch Manning, you got Quinn Ewers, and you got Malik Murphy, who's also got a really high ceiling as well. You know, I don't know if Texas has had this much talent in the QB room overall than when they had, you know, man, when Vince Young, Chris Sims, and like Chance Mock were all in the quarterback room. I know it sounds crazy, but those were all 5-star quarterbacks going back in recruiting. And these are all basically kind of 5-star caliber quarterbacks too. I know Malik Murphy wasn't officially a 5-star, but whatever. But I think they all have that kind of ceiling. And that's what Sark wants to be able to mold, is just kind of the raw materials of all these quarterbacks. And, yes, they're all pocket-passing quarterbacks, right? We know the type. Sark's got a type of quarterback that he likes. And now all these quarterbacks in this room are quarterbacks that are his type. Remember, Hudson Card wasn't his type of quarterback.
Right.
Neither was Casey Thompson. That wasn't his type, right? We know his types of quarterback. He wants pocket-passing quarterbacks. I'm sure he's worked with other quarterbacks. We know that. But if you give him his preference, that's what he likes. And I think, you know, like I said, if you give me my preference, you'll probably see I got a specific type of woman I like, whatever that may be. He's got a type that he likes, all right? I like big booty brunettes. But yeah, but I'm saying, my point is, he likes these types of quarterbacks, and all these quarterbacks now are his types of QBs.
Right.
And
they fit the mold.
Yeah, and I don't care which one wins the backup quarterback. I think it's going to be a heated competition now, and I'm glad Malik Murphy and Arch Manning are going to fight it out. But you're going to need whoever wins that job, and that's why I'm glad they got the competition, because they're going to have to be ready to play. I hope, knock on wood, they don't have to play an extended period of time. Hope it's a game here or there. They got to play. But the truth is, last year in the Big 12 play, only one team, that was Iowa State, went the entire season without having to play their backup for injury concerns or for productivity concerns. And for Texas, it's 1999, only 6 times have you had a quarterback start the entire year. So it just, you're going to need that backup. I don't know when, and I don't know why, but you're going to need them.
No doubt.
So
we've seen it
is,
every time.
Yeah, get them ready to play.
Yeah.
Because we know it's almost a guarantee. Another guarantee is Texas going to run the rock. We know that with Steve Sarkisian. But he lost his best leader, which was a running back, and his best player, which was also a running back. Rojo and Bijan both gone, and they will be on NFL rosters next season. Here is Sark when he was asked about Jonathan Brooks returning. That's big. Remember, you talked about, you know, Jaden Blue and his contributions, at least what we thought possible contributions could be from him in the Alamo Bowl. Keelan Robinson, one of those guys that can be more of a utility or a hybrid player. And C.J. Baxter coming in, number one running back in the country. They need a workhorse, but I do think it'll be a collective kind of money ball approach to the running back position. So they're going to need all these bodies. Here is Sark talking about the return of Jonathan Brooks to that group.
I thought Jonathan looked good today. You know, first day back. Obviously, you know, coming off the surgery in the offseason. He looks strong. You can see, feel like his body's changing. Definitely a confident player. He's going into year 3. And that's a positive thing. That room has got great competition as well. You know, we don't have Keelan out there yet, but to have Keelan and Jonathan and Blue and Cedric Baxter, Savion Red, I mean, that room's going to be solid. And we know there's going to be, you know, a new face or two or whatever it looks like compared to what it looked like a year ago. So to have Jonathan back is a real positive for us.
There you go. And they're going to need him. I mean, Jonathan Brooks is he's fantastic. I do think Jonathan Brooks is going to be a next level back. And
I think
CJ Baxter is going to be a next level back, too. My only concern is losing the elite tackle, tackle breaking ability of a guy like Bijan Robinson-Rojo.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys can break tackles as well as anybody.
And they were 1-2, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, I went and looked at a stat, and I went and did some deep diving. If you would look at missed tackles forced per touch with running backs of at least 225 touches, Power 5 running backs only here, since 2015. So you're talking about, you know, going all the way back to 2015. Rojo is number one. And Javonte Williams, that running back out of North Carolina, he's number two. And Bijan Robinson is number three. Going back to since 2015, these are the best running backs at breaking tackles. So I just don't think Texas, and I kept saying this before the bowl game, I don't think Texas fans are truly understood the impact of losing Rojo and Bijan and their elite ability to break tackles. We saw it in the bowl game.
Yeah.
All right, that offensive line, they really couldn't do anything in the running game. Now you did have a lot of injuries, too, because Jonathan Brooks ended up with an injury. And I don't think Keelan Robinson's built for that role to be a workhorse. But so many times, and I would say probably 5 to 8 times a game easily, a Rojo and a Bijan would turn a play that was a negative play and a minus play into not only a positive play, but almost an explosive play at times. You missed that in the bowl game, and that's why your running game lacked. And Sark lacked the imagination, the creativity, innovation. Not saying he ain't got it. He's got it.
Yeah.
I expected him to get in his bag after Rojo and Bijan were going to miss the bowl game. He did not get in his bag at all. Maybe he left his bag somewhere else. Maybe he forgot his bag like I do when I go to HEB and I forget my bag and I got to go in there and get another bag. I don't know what they'll happen to
maybe
his bag.
Maybe he forgot
in the bowl
it
game.
And left it on the plane like I did my wallet.
Maybe he forgot it on the plane too. I don't know. What. Maybe it was Steven out there and not Sark, and Steven don't have a bag and Sark's got the bag. I don't know what happened to his bag, but he did not get into his bag of tricks and innovative, creative cheat codes for Texas in the run game versus Washington without Bijan and Rojo. But I'm telling you right now, he's going to need him coming up this season. And if he comes that lame, vanilla run game and expect Rojo and Bijan to break it up like they did all last season, on the season before that, then that is going to be a dang coaching mistake. You're going to need you're going to need a money ball approach. All these guys, Jay Brooks, Keelan Robinson, you're going to need Baxter, you're going to need Jaden Blue, you're going to need all of them, first of all. And you're also going to need a ton of innovative, creative run concepts, imaginative run concepts. If you don't get that from Sark, y'all going to be disappointed. I guarantee it's going to look like that Alamo Bowl.
Right.
That's exactly what it was. I think Sark went to Alamo thinking, oh, we run. These are the concepts we run all the time. These are our bread and butter run plays. We're going to go out there. We're going to run what we run. O-line, y'all used to run it.
This
y'all know how to block
do.
It. It's what we do. Yep. Bullet ball, baby. He's like, no, it ain't bullet ball. It's Bijan ball.
Yeah.
It's Rojo ball. That was their damn ball. It ain't your ball. Yep. You're going to get your bag of tricks that you forgot at the house.
Yeah.
All right? You bring that next time because we're going to need that when we run the ball.
Yep.
All right,
I love it.
Random.
I love
there.
It.
All right, random rant there. But that's what I think they're going to need. They're going to need a lot of imaginative concepts, innovative concepts. Sark's got that stuff, by the way.
He definitely
does. We've seen it already. We just need more of it.
Please bring it back.
Right?
Please bring it back.
All right. I was going to get into some more Sark sound. We can table that sound for tomorrow and get into Sark sound tomorrow.
Oh, no. Bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
He's got some stuff talking about the O-line, DBs,
it.
Linebackers. Yep. We want to do some deep dive into that stuff, so we'll do it tomorrow. We'll save some of that sound for tomorrow. Raj ran the day. I'm going to compare. I've compared the Dallas Cowboys to a lot of different things. I'm going to make another comparison, something that is a trend with the Cowboys over the last decade. And I like the trend, but I'm going to compare them to one of my favorite retail locations.
Come on.
Actually, that I've gone to. If you're a ball on the budget, you will appreciate this too. And the Cowboys, if anybody's a ball on the budget, it's the Cowboys. Yeah, they ball on a budget. But Catboy, this offseason, he's doing his thing. So we'll talk about
winning.
That when we come back. We'll get into that. All of that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Mad as hell. and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back. Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. The Cowboys have a lot of tendencies as an organization, and some of them are bad tendencies as an organization. They have kind of, I would say, the bad behavioral patterns, bad habits as an organization. One of their habits as an organization that I actually like, that I think it's a good habit for them, is they're basically big-time ballers on the budget, the Cowboys are, whether you're talking about Cat Boy, or you're talking about their inability or unwillingness to spend money in free agency, which is the most overvalued means of talent acquisition. They want to make sure they prioritize value and they're getting the most bang for their buck. That's why they love the draft. They love undrafted free agency. Their main ways to acquire talent and build a roster. And now they're finally getting into the trade market, because the trade market also is a great place, all right, to acquire value in terms of talent acquisition. But the Cowboys, for some reason, they hadn't really been utilizing the trade market. Now this offseason, they're utilizing the trade market. It's great. So I love that they are finally doing this. I hope they make that part of their behavioral pattern as an organization and make that a habit. One of their other habits is they love to take discounted talent for whatever reason and basically revitalize it, repurpose it, recycle it, refurbish it, whatever you want to call it. The Cowboys are really good at that, and they find value there. And some people say it could be because Jerry Jones, he loves a talented yet troubled soul. So oftentimes, whether it's a Randy Gregory or it's a Rolando McClain or it's a Pac-Man Jones, everybody else is giving up on this great talent because of the baggage. And Jerry's like, no. That player with that baggage, that's going to be a great value. We'll get him cheaper with the baggage.
Yep.
And it's happened before. You've gotten guys cheaper with that baggage and gotten some quality reps out of them, quality starts out of guys. So I think that's part of it, too. And that's one of their kind of organizational tendencies and habits. They do that. And like I said, sometimes they find value in that, sometimes they don't. But it's a little nice little factoid. And I'll give, I think it was John Machota who threw it out there first. But the Cowboys have had 10 straight years where they've gotten another team's first-round pick. Where they've acquired another team's first-round pick, either via trade or via free agency signing. They've signed another team's former first-round pick. 2014, it was Rolando McClain, eighth overall pick in 2010. Also that year, they signed Brandon Wheaton, who was 22nd overall in 2012. 2015, they signed Darren McFadden, fourth overall in 2008. 2016, they signed Mark Sanchez, fifth overall in 2009. 2017, they signed Jonathan Cooper, who was 7th overall in 2013. They also signed Dayton Jones, who was 26th overall in 2013. 2018, it was Amari Cooper, 4th overall. They acquired him via trade. They traded for Trayvon Austin as well, 8th overall pick in 2013. They traded for Robert Quinn in 2019. He was great for the Cowboys. He ended up getting a big deal the next year. 14th overall in 2011, he was picked. In 2020, it was Aldon Smith. Speaking of, the troubled yet talented soul. All right. The Cowboys love to take a chance on those guys. Aldon Smith, 7th overall pick in 2011. They acquired him in 2020. Also signed Joe McCoy, 3rd overall pick in 2010. They signed Dontari Poe, who was 11th overall pick in 2012. They also signed Cameron Irving, who was the 19th overall pick in 2015. And Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, 21st overall pick in 2014. And 2021, they signed Malik Hooker, who was a 15th overall pick in 2017. And they signed Keanu Neal, who's a 17th overall pick in 2016. And in 2022, Dante Fowler, 3rd overall pick in 2015. They signed him. They signed Anthony Barr as well, who's the 9th overall pick in 2014. And don't forget Xavier Rhodes late in the season, 25th overall pick in 2013. And Takarist McKinley, when they brought him in for the other cornerback spot, 26th overall pick in 2017. 2023,
there's some value.
We added again. Traded for Stephon Gilmore, 10th overall pick in 2012. And, of course, Brandon Cooks, who was the 20th overall pick in 2014. What it shows you is the Cowboys, who I've said, They're one of the top five, top 10 best drafting teams in the NFL. They really are. We make fun of them and talk trash on them, but they really are. And I've given you the numbers. And if you look at undrafted free agents, all right, and they rank those classes, they also among top five, top 10, depending on how you're grading them, of undrafted free agency classes every year. So they're top five, top 10 drafting, undrafted free agent acquisition team in the NFL. Where they fail to find value is in the free agent market, but they don't want to find value there. As a matter of fact, they still have only re-signed their own free agents. We like our guys.
We all right? love them.
They're the most homegrown team in the NFL, so they don't want to go outside for free agents. They want to sign their own free agents, so we don't really count that. All right, that's their own free agents. But they've done a good job of re-signing those guys. And where they're now finding value is in the trade market, of course. And there is tremendous value there because teams want to get rid of bloated contracts for veteran players. And they're always looking to make room for younger, cheaper players. So there's always a team going, is that guy too damn expensive?
Mm-hmm.
Did he really give us enough production for what we're paying him? That complaint happens every year in the NFL with about a third of the teams. And all you got to do is find out who's a little disgruntled, either as from the player standpoint, right, Brandon Cooks, or from the team standpoint, the coach is Stephon Gilmore. We're paying him too much, and he's aging. He's getting old. Somebody feels like that guy's too old for that money, or there's a player out there who doesn't feel like he's being paid enough money he wants out. You got to find which one it is, either via through the agent or through the exec and the team, and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys are doing that right now, so give them props. And this is what I love about the Cowboys. This is one of the ways they find great value. And they trust their draft board is what it tells you. Right? When they have their draft board up, whether it's 5 years ago or whether it's 2 years ago, they're like, hey, this guy was high on our draft board. We'll take him. We'll bring him in because he was really high on our draft board. We like that guy. And they believe, whether it's with their training staff, we talked about they love their training staff. So they'll take a chance on a player who's an injury-riddled player. Remember Jalen, what's his name? Jalen Smith.
Jalen Smith, yeah. That's why they took him in the second round.
They were like, no. Nobody else can make it work, but our training staff will make it work. We'll find a bargain there. Discounted player, discounted skill set, we'll get value there. So whether it's a training staff or whether it's Jerry Jones believing they have a really good culture with the Cowboys and everybody deserves a second chance, and he'll take the troubled yet talented soul who also is discounted because nobody wants to pay for that baggage. But there's another way. You take first-round picks who have basically either been mis-evaluated, over-evaluated, they weren't scheme fits, new codes, different situation, whatever reason it didn't work out, okay? And the Cowboys, they're willing to take a chance on that player that didn't work out, that other team couldn't make it happen for whatever reason, scheme, coaching, over-evaluations, mis-evaluations, but Cowboys will make it work. And honestly, sometimes it does.
Right.
Sometimes it works out that way. Now, with the first-round picks, it kind of reminds me of, you get this when you try to take phones back in or computers back in. Like, if you try to get a new computer or a new phone, they'll often ask you, do you want a brand-new phone or do you want a refurbished phone?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, refurbished. And he's like, oh, what's refurbished? Well, refurbished means it was broken. It was broken. Then we repaired it, right? We recycled it. We repurposed. We refurbished it. Now it's now brand new. It's like a brand new phone now.
Yep.
You can buy it, but you get it at a discount. You ain't got to pay the $1,000 for a brand new phone. You can get this one for like 60% off, or you can get this one for 30% of what a new phone costs you. All right, that's what you get. You can do it for laptops too. They'll tell you it's refurbished. And honestly, it still gives you problems, but it's still cheaper than buying something that's brand new. And that's what the Cowboys like to do. They like to go out and buy the refurbished phone, the refurbished laptop. Yeah, you gave up on it. It's your old laptop, or you dropped it, or you dropped your phone in water, took it back in. They told you, oh, we'll take it back. We'll give you a new one with the insurance, whatever. And you thought they threw it away because it was trash. Nope. It ain't trash. They actually recycled it. They fixed it. And now it's refurbished. That's the Cowboys with these first round picks that teams have given up on and decided, nah, we can't do anything with it. Cowboys are talking about, nah, we'll repurpose it. We'll recycle it. We'll refurbish it. And they're doing a really good job with it.
No doubt.
So Cowboys,
that's why I told you when I sent y'all that, I was like, hee-hee-hee. I was smiling inside internally because of the joy that they have been showing me of using refurbished type of players.
That's,
and they got something to prove.
They do, but it's
they got something to prove.
I think it's a really. I've always admired this particular method for the Cowboys to acquire talent. It, you know, it's with you. I hear Bucky talk about this all the time, and I used to do it when I was younger. My mom would take us to Goodwills, mm-hmm. go shopping at Goodwills and everything. Mm-hmm. People take clothes to Goodwill. Goodwill sells them. People turn them in for free. Goodwill sells them at a profit. They make a profit.
Slightly used,
there whatever you want to call it, and. Bucky talks about going to Goodwill all the time. But there is in Westlake, there's a Goodwill, but they don't call it Goodwill. It's called GW by Goodwill. I'm not making this up. It's a boutique. It's a Goodwill boutique. I'm not making it up. People in Westlake, y'all know this. It's probably the best Goodwill out there. There ain't a better Goodwill out there than the Westlake GW Boutique by Goodwill. That's the Cowboys. Yeah. All right? That's the Cowboys. They're getting – this is GW by Goodwill. They're getting first-round picks that everybody's giving up on and taking back the Goodwill for nothing, and they getting profit for it. They getting value from it. All right? So that's what I look at the Cowboys right now. They are basically that Westlake Boutique. Well, I think it's still there. I'm pretty sure it is.
I mean, I'm sure.
Oh, well, first of all,
I'm going to drive by there.
Goodwills don't really go out of business that often anyway because they got like tax exemptions and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the GW by Goodwill, the one in Westlake there, oh, I assure you, it's doing pretty well. Can you imagine the good stuff they have in there? It is. Y'all should go check it out. I know y'all don't like going to Goodwill, but go to
Oh, you'd be surprised how many people like going to Goodwill.
It ain't Goodwill. It's the GW.
Boutique.
By Goodwill. I BS you not. I think it says that out front. It says GW by Goodwill. Yeah.
Well, you know they got some nice stuff up in here, dog.
Well, Westlake ain't want no Goodwill in their neighborhoods. They're like, hey, you can't call it Goodwill.
Right.
Call it GW by Goodwill. We don't want no Goodwill up in Westlake, man. So it's the GW. Go check it out, though.
Somebody said, Rob, why are you out here giving out trade secrets?
Hey, I'm telling you. the Cowboys have been big on that for a long time. A lot of teams don't like to do it. I think the Cowboys have gotten some good deals from that.
They have.
They really have gotten some good deals off just taking a team who has given up on their first round pick for whatever reason. Cowboys look at their draft board and go, man, you know, we had this guy as the first round pick too. Really?
Yep.
Let's go get him off the trash heap for cheap.
Let's go get him. Because they got something to prove too. When they come back, they're like, man, I know that I need to do better. And especially if you're going to go to be a Cowboy, you know you get paid if you go out there and play well. They'll re-sign you. Look at what all these players have done to stay with the Cowboys.
That's true. Malik Hooker. Yes. Got a contract again. Dante Fowler.
Yes.
Just got re-signed as
Donovan
well.
Donovan Wilson.
Donovan, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
No, Cowboys. Except right now, the Cowboys are making all the right moves.
Somebody said that Philly is the Gucci store while y'all are at Goodwill. Congrats.
Well said there, sir.
I like it.
Hey, I can't
like
get mad at it. Hey, you know what? But the Cowboys got to the divisional round with Goodwill, and y'all got Gucci, and y'all got to the Super Bowl. I would say value-wise, Cowboys still got good value.
Oh,
there.
For sure.
We're talking about value here, all right? Value as opposed to the production and the output that you're getting. So I agree with you about Philly, though. That's a great little point there. I like that. It was really good. All right, we come back. We'll get into another off the record on the other side, right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9.
Yo, Snow, they came around looking for you the other day.
Word,
bust it.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a top of the charts Tuesday. Wow. Informer. Well done.
I love it.
I haven't heard this song in a long time. Do you remember who sings Informer? We should know this, Harge.
I mean, I know this.
This is Snow, right?
This is Snow.
Good job. Yeah. He's a one-hit wonder?
Yes.
Right?
I mean, I can't imagine he had anything else. Also, the name of this album, 12 Inches of Snow.
Okay. Okay. 12 Inches of Snow. I'm not even going to get deep into that. That's a double entendre all the way, or triple entendre potentially. I'm not getting into that one. There you go. Top of the charts Tuesday. My man Patrick doing a great job. Plays jams that reached the top of the Billboard charts on this day in history. Remember, guys, we're going to be off early at 6:15, so we got one more segment. We got one more off the record before we get out of here. How about this? Jimmy G's in Vegas now?
You like Vegas. That, right?
You know what?
I like Jimmy G in Vegas. I really do.
I think Jimmy G still got. You a big Jimmy G fan? You have been
I
a Jimmy G fan from
Since
the start.
Day
yeah,
one.
Yeah. I will say that you you and Joe Montana.
Yep.
You know Joe Montana said Jimmy G needs to start for the 49ers. He's like, he should start. They were like, Trey Lance, out of Trey Lance and Brock Purdy, he still said it should be Jimmy G.
Yeah.
He's a big Jimmy G guy. And Harges too. And by the way, Jimmy G's I think he's got lots of proof, because I think he's heard the narrative about him that he's a game managing quarterback and that he's a system quarterback and that he can't uplift a team, all that kind of stuff. And I think Jimmy G might be out to prove something this year. But anyway, that's my man Patrick and his Raiders. They can figure it out. But Jimmy G, apparently, he's already made his presence known in Vegas. Apparently, there are some ladies who are famous for their work at the famous Chicken Ranch brothel there in Nevada.
Oh, yeah.
And the two lovely ladies, Caitlin Bell and Alice Little, who work there, apparently they are really excited about Jimmy G being there. And they said if he accepts their offer, that they are offering him free sex forever at the Chicken Ranch brothel.
If you would use BlueChew.com, you can.
People are going to think that I'm setting Harge up for these things, and I have not at all.
He is not.
I have not set him up. But, yeah. So, Jimmy G. Jimmy G has dated women in the adult entertainment industry.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Jimmy G is so damn good looking. And, yes, I, as a heterosexual man, can admit when another man is good looking.
Oh, Jimmy G's jawline, man. That's the red brother got it going on,
he's
man.
He's an attractive man.
And he's a QB.
He don't need this offer. Exactly.
He's a QB.
And he's a pro athlete. He don't need this offer. He's fighting him off with a stick.
Exactly.
In Vegas, too?
Yes.
Oh, man, he's fighting him off with a stick. He really
be just fine.
He could put up some Wilt Chamberlain numbers if he wanted to out there.
How do we know he haven't?
Maybe that's why Jimmy G ain't elite.
That's right.
Maybe put up some Scottie Pippen type numbers 4 times a night.
That might be true.
You sure Shannon Sharpe said basically that's why Scottie Pippen had them back problems? It's because Larsa Pippen was making him
putting
bang it out
work
4 times a night for 20 something years.
Oh,
come
yeah.
on, man.
I love it.
Wow. Okay, there you go. So Jimmy G, he don't need that, man. Jimmy G is he's just fine. All right, Patrick. You're still going to be a Raiders fan? Are you going to have another free agency fandom?
I'm not going to have another free agency fandom.
Okay.
I will say I'm either going back or I may be just done. Have no team. The Raiders are just such a dumpster fire.
They are. You did pick the wrong team. You picked at the wrong
you
time.
Did
too.
Oh. The wrong at the wrong team. Time. They was in turmoil. Soon as you saw Josh McDaniels, you should have ran the other way.
I thought Josh McDaniels, he had to have learned. He had to have learned from his mistakes.
Nope.
And no, he is basically like doubling down.
He is.
He's doubling down. He goes, I didn't work in Denver, right. but I'm going to do it here. It's going to work. Why? Why would it be any different?
By the way,
let's go look at the Patriots since Tom Brady left and tell me that organization has run well.
You guys know my theory on Belichickian coaches. I wouldn't trust any of them.
Except never win.
Saban at the college level is the only exception, really. But the rest of them, oh, man, they're
no
in trouble.
If Aaron Rodgers ends up on the Jets, they could be third in that division real quick.
I love it.
Man. Yeah. See, the thing about the Raiders, though, I will say is I think there's a chance because their defense is still decent, right?
Yeah.
They've been adding. Well, their defense played terrible last year. Like, it played terrible. They had good players
but
on
they had
it.
Good players
they
on
put
it.
Money on it, and then they hired Patrick Graham from the Giants to be their DC, and it just never took.
That's Josh McDaniels, though.
And it just never took. And then they didn't run the ball. The problem is, too, like, Darren Waller wanted out, so they got rid of Darren Waller. Josh Jacobs is gone next year.
They franchise tagged him.
They franchise tagged Josh Jacobs, and he's gone next year.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
Back, yeah.
Just because, like, why would I stay? I don't want to play for you.
And you're starting over at quarterback, too.
But it's like he needs his guys.
Because Jimmy G's a stopgap, right?
If they don't trade up, they're not – at seven, they're probably not getting one of the four quarterbacks.
Well, not this year, but I'm just saying, like, he's not a franchise quarterback for the future.
No, but if it's not this year – Josh McDaniels may get fired after this year.
No, that's fair, too.
Like, if they are,
that's fair.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. It's NFL, so you only got, I think, 3.5 years the average tenure for a coach at a
and
job.
And when this guy destroys your franchise by coming in and getting rid of all the guys you built and drafted and did well with and then can't do any better but always finds a way to blame somebody else.
No, I'm not a fan. And I know if you think about coming back to the Texans, come on. It'd be like remarrying your ex-wife you divorced. It's okay. It happens. Some people have, I've seen people remarry exes, they divorce. Don't worry about what other people are saying about you. You can come back to the Texans fandom. We'll accept you.
I can't quit you.
Yeah, exactly. Come on back, baby. Come on back.
That's right.
You are welcome home.
Yeah. Good draft. You are welcome
home. Yeah, you're welcome with the Texans, baby. Hey, I got a good seat on that bandwagon.
I was
going
to say, there's a lot of room left on that bandwagon, dog, because a lot of people jumped off.
A lot of people saw it by attendance last year. A lot of people jumped off that bandwagon. You're right. Plenty of room on there, man.
You got time, bro.
And no Easter be, so we're done playing the gospel and the Christian rap on the bandwagon. Yeah, he was demanding.
You got rid of Brandon Cooks, was the last vestige of the Easter Bee crew.
Yeah, that was it. He was the last one. I think so.
Come on back. That was a long experiment to get Caserio, wasn't it?
It was. I don't even know if it was worth it now.
No, it wasn't. I can tell you straight up, it was not. But.
Well, that's what happens when you have two flawed ideals as an organization. They tried to become the Patriots of the South. That's flawed. All right?
And now they're trying to be the Patriots in Sin City. The Raiders are.
Really, now the Raiders, that's a good point. But the Texans tried that for, 4 or 5 years? They would even use that term, Patriots of the South. You sound like some losers. Quit saying that.
Showing
right?
up in their letter jackets and to get beat up.
Exactly. And then they tried to become essentially a faith-based NFL organization with Easter Bee, and they want to make all of their decisions based on being led by them. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. Chick-fil-A is a faith-based organization. That's hard to win games in the NFL being a faith-based organization.
Yeah.
And that failed miserably,
especially
too.
When your prayers are not being answered every Sunday.
when the football gods don't like you. they don't like you. All right, we come right back. We'll have a last segment here. We'll talk about Lamar Jackson. We got a strange, weird update, but I would expect nothing less. Right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9.
Go, shorty, it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a Bacardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fuck, cause that's your birthday. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need, if you need to fill the buzz. I'm in the having sex, I ain't in the making love. So come
all
give
right,
me a
back
hug.
To Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We're off a little bit early today at 6:15 to give you up to Texas baseball. Before we do that, we'll get back into some NFL news, notes, and nuggets. It is a top of the charts Tuesday. We play jams that reach the top of the Billboard charts on this day in history. And my man Patrick DJing a top of the charts Tuesday. We appreciate his efforts and all of his creativity. That's why we call him the Idealionaire. We don't often get hip hop with top of the charts Tuesday, because I imagine most of the Billboard's top of the Billboard's number one hits are not hip hop, because hip hop is a relatively new genre.
You didn't get hip hop in the
right
in the number one until probably 2010s, maybe.
I was gonna say
maybe early 2000s. Maybe. You started to get some with like Nelly and stuff like that.
More regularity, but
but also once you get past the year 2000, number one songs stay number one for a lot longer than they used to. So, like, if you're going back to the 60s, songs will be, like, max out at number one for, like, 3 or 4 weeks. And, like, a really big song will be, like, 6 weeks. And 2022, like, every song's at least 12 weeks.
Is that because of the promotion of the jam? Like once you get a top hit,
yeah, and it's also
so many different promotional
elements
around it.
People don't buy records anymore. So, it's, like, it changed the whole model with streaming of number ones that, like,
they almost go viral.
Yeah, like, it's this weird. It's a weird thing of how they judge number ones change from... Well, it used to be, you know, you sold the record, and then people bought all the records, and then they went and bought new records.
Yeah, now it's about streams.
And now you stream it, but they just keep streaming the same thing over and over again, and you don't. It's just a weirder model of how it's done. And then there's just not as many, like, major labels that have bands out, because major labels, you needed the main reason most bands signed with major labels was for distribution, and you don't need distribution really anymore because everything's online. So it's not about getting your records in stores.
Yeah, just getting it heard, getting enough people to hear it.
So there's a lot of reasons, but now it's
getting spins.
Yeah, back in the day, you just have to go pay DJs to go. Yep. I think that's illegal. So don't say you were doing that. That's what they were doing. They were being like pay a DJ to
never,
spin
never payola.
Exactly. There you go. That's what they call it.
Put a $50 bill on a record.
Hey, you know what? As long as you get them spins, man. Okay, how about this, guys? Jeremy Fowler went on ESPN. And he is now throwing out this, latest update about the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes. He says, quote, "And then when you talk about good fits, I asked some executives around the league what teams would make sense for Lamar Jackson. And then you got some wild cards like Tennessee Titans or New England Patriots, teams that like to run the ball. You never know." He also went on to say the NFL executives mentioned Tennessee, who just cleared some cap space, and they have a new GM, Rand Carthen, who's working on the roster. They could use a running quarterback. They have experience with that in the past, and even a wild card like Minnesota. Kirk Cousins has 1 year left on his contract if they want to reestablish their identity. Man, and then we got this. This comes from Pro Football Talk. Pro Football Talk is claiming that a random representative of Lamar Jackson, remember Lamar Jackson is his own agent representing himself, but they are claiming, per multiple sources, a representative for Jackson has contacted more than one team in an effort to spark negotiations aimed at a possible offer sheet. The representative is not certified by the NFL Players Association. As one source explained it, the person has said Jackson does not, I repeat, does not want a fully guaranteed contract. Some regard this as a possible exercise in semantics, with Jackson still wanting a very significant amount of money fully guaranteed, but not the entire contract fully guaranteed, a la Deshaun Watson. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, but that was what we thought. $200 million guaranteed is what we were guessing. He wants around $200 million guaranteed.
Yes, you're still going to pay a lot of money.
Yeah, so it's 4 years, $50 million, and your fifth year is an option without it fully guaranteed. I think is what they were saying that he wanted.
Yeah, so he still wants at least, he wants the most guaranteed money ever.
Yes.
Period. So whatever you think of it, he wants the most guaranteed money. That's probably what he starts saying rather than fully guaranteed deal. Just say you want the most guaranteed money ever.
Well, also, we know the Ravens were trying to collude to kill the market, too. So that was why they said guaranteed a bunch.
They weren't the only ones colluding. Yeah.
Well, you can't collude by yourself.
No, that's a great way to end the show. I was going to give another report, but you won't get better than that. That's like George Costanza. You got to leave on top. That was great. You can't collude by yourself. Amen, brother. Amen.
Well done, my friend. Well done.
All right, what's on tap for you, Harge?
I'm going to watch the World Baseball Classic, and I'm also going to watch Texas baseball tonight.
Ooh, a lot of hardball for there hardball. I like that. Patrick, what's on tap for you, brother?
Well, I watch World Baseball Classic and probably some basketball.
Oh, I like that.
I watch a lot of college, not as much NBA.
Yeah, I'm going to watch World Baseball Classic, too. I'm excited about it. And I'm going to finish watching Swarm, that Donald Glover show.
How was it?
It's graphic.
Okay.
It's graphic.
Well, I told you, I saw the opening. I was like, oh, my goodness.
In a lot of ways. Very graphic. I'll say that. I want to thank all you guys for listening. Remember, Revolution, I'll be telling about, talking about it right here on Ball Don't Lie. We love you guys. We mean that. Take care of yourselves. But more importantly, take care of each other. We love you guys. We mean that. Peace.